Reading from the Madhya Lila 24, text 72. The Chaitanya Bhagavat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bayebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dan, Bhakti A Krishnanam Smarana Kradam. Devotional service, devotional service, devotional service is the greatest treasure. Devotional service means crying while remembering Krishna's names. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bayebacha Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I did the Mangalacharana twice. Yeah, I'm up in the country. This is the place where I usually stay in America. But I think it doesn't have such good reception, so I hope it's okay. We had a lot of fun on Wednesday where we discussed Krishna West. And I actually got feedback from that people really liked it. I didn't even know anybody else actually listens to this, but somehow some people did. Well, I heard from Namaras, who really liked it, and I heard from Venkata Bhatt, who really liked it, and Akinchana Krishna really liked it. Maybe I'll begin today, because the article will come out on Monday, and I'm going to write two articles, because there's two issues here. What is the relevance of a presentation of Indian culture as brought by Srila Prabhupada, the traditions of India that Srila Prabhupada brought? What is its relationship to the presentation of Krishna consciousness? And what is its relationship to the cultivation of our spiritual life? So let me get a summary, because when I write these things, it's really helpful for me to actually explain them. The point I made is that realization means communicating, and communicating means to package things in the language and understanding of your audience. not necessarily just with the form of the tradition which you originally met. And this was actually Prabhupada's expertise, because he did things that were a little bit revolutionary in ways. Bringing women into the ashram and things like that. As a sannyasi performing marriages, it's actually considered technically, according to Vedic culture, inauspicious for a sannyasi to attend a marriage, because a sannyasi means socially dead. So it's inauspicious. But, you know, Prabhupada, according to utility, he, and when I first came to the temple in Los Angeles, the same temple that's there in 1970, Prabhupada kept the church pews. He thought this would, you know, rather than the culture of India where you sit on the floor, which has many, many advantages as long as it's not too cold and you have an asana. So people who are expert, they can do this. So the question is, in presenting Krishna consciousness in the West, how much should we do it? And Krishna West basically said none. You got to hide that Indian culture, and it's not relevant. And then on the other end of the spectrum, maybe people who are connected with Bhakti Vikas more, it's the, you know, the purity itself is the most important thing, and that will be attractive. You make the tradition in intact, and then others in between. So there's a variance of it, and, you know, and my conclusion is that we have to preach, and preaching means communicate, and communication means make sure that people understand it. And the difference I certainly have with Krishna West is that Indian culture, when applied practically, is actually attractive. Practically, I mean, I like, you know, it's selective. Devamrita Swami, who's fantastically successful. I was actually spoke to him the other day. He gives lectures and 400 Westerners show up, and he has a whole thing, Krishna Lounge, where you don't see the Indian culture except for the books are there and the instruments. But certainly he uses it, because one of his things is bringing those people to India, and he's immensely successful. I don't think Krishna West thinks that's very attractive. So it ultimately comes down to realization, and there are different places with different audiences, perhaps, where it can be presented more or less or intact fully, and maybe according to certain programs and people, maybe a fuller presentation. Fuller presentation basically means a lot has to do with the dress. And I certainly, in these monk's robes, at my age, feel it's a great facility to communicate Krishna consciousness. So that's the point. And here's another point too, which I spoke with Devamrita Swami about. There are certain things that may not tally with our analysis of the presentation, but are connected with the tradition in terms of empowerment and blessings. And that trumps perhaps what you may think is the external presentation. Those 400 people that come to his lectures, the main way they're connected is through book distribution. So he's getting a lot of blessings by doing that. I think the Bhakti Center said firmly rooted branching out. So I think there's a fine line with presentation and the roots of the tradition that empower the presentation, which you may not make those decisions. I know, for example, in terms of presentation, some people wanted Prabhupada's Murti out of the temple in the Bhakti Center. Radhanath Swami said no. in terms of the blessings, and the fact of the matter is, it was tremendously successful, the amount of people that came to the Bhakti Center. You didn't have to compromise our presentation in terms of that, of something people may not understand, etc. And if maybe Prabhupada didn't say it, you wouldn't have it there. So these are all kinds of considerations. I think people also like the discussion between me and Brahmatirtha, because it's called Vada. There's different types of debate. The highest type is called Vada. Vada means where there's no attachment to conclusion, there's attachment to truth. And I think we both entered into that dialogue in that mood. And in my article that I read, I also mentioned Ram Roy. Now, I had questions about the refinement of his presentation, but I just think that's a case of just blessings, Harinam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma. And even though I had a lot of problems with that and would speak to him about it, about the presentation, I still went out, I still joined him, and I saw the results. That, and I had the idea that some people are attracted to the sacrifice and the purity of a presentation, including the external presentation, which represents that. So I don't discount that also. And I mentioned some of the, I think it attracted some very deep devotees. Brajarani, who I understand, I think she's retired now, and she's heading up the Harinam at the Divyangi, who's the main preacher at the Brooklyn Temple. Leela Brindavan came from that. So I think there's a certain something to be said about that's missing when you just try to hide the culture, that there's some blessings in some of the things in it, and not only blessings in some of the things in it, but there's something about that presentation. You have to be very careful with it also. I know a person that was going to be a Catholic priest. I know him from Vietnam. He's named Krishnadas. He's from the Netherlands. And then there was Vatican II. Now, Vatican II liberalized the church. They no longer did the mass in Latin. So many things were done. And he told me the reason he left, he became a social worker because the presentation became more about welfare activity than it did about devotion. So he said, well, why am I performing all these austerities? And the same thing happened to the Jesuits. They thought, okay, to preach, we have to, they're expert at it. They had Catholics as Hindu monks. They had Catholics in the universities. They're very, very powerful, but I studied them. But some things happened too where, some of their people, just monks, went to the cities and lived like the people and became like the people. So There's a fine line there that has to be investigated, but you'll see my article. The second thing is the effect on the culture. And both Vajrayana Sundari and Akiko made very nice points. Akiko put it that when you put on a costume, you adopt the character. And Rajasundari Radhe said that, you know, it's an identification. And I always made the point, there's a relationship between the external and the internal, where you put your body is and where you put your consciousness. So there's a certain mood in that dress also that helps you to identify. That's what dress is about. Dress reflects who you think you are to yourself and others. So it's nice, especially our point is changing identity, and it may not be the thing to wear, you know, when you come to a temple program. If all the congregation came to a temple program in just robes, then people would think that to join you have to do that, which is not actually the mood anymore, or not practical anymore. So I think there's something, really something about culture as an environment that facilitates growth to a particular perceived objective. And there's really something about that. And if you completely shed the externals, you may shed some of the essentials also, if you're not careful, if that doesn't happen. And I made it a point, I think it's a great analogy of a policeman. One second. One second. Oh, wait. Okay, one second. This is an amazing call. I'm getting a call from Sridhar in Vrindavan. Radhe. Oh, Haribo. Oh, great.
Maharaj, how are you? Are you happy?
Tell them I'm miserable because I'm separated from Vrindavan. Oh.
Understand.
Hello, Vakya. Harishit, we will come.
He says that Vakya Bihari will arrange something, you will come.
With his prayers, I'll come. Okay, Leela.
They will pray, they say.
Leela. Very good. I'm actually in the middle of a class now, but I saw you call. No, this was so important. Tell me what
they
he needs.
They asked me, can you please call Maharaj for a video call? I said, that's a great
idea. Okay. Leela, tell me what he needs, okay?
Okay, I will
find out his situation and tell me, and then we'll do. Okay, I have to go give my class. I'm right giving class. Hey, Jagannath Priya too. This Leela, this was such a treat for me. Do this more often. Oh my God, okay. This is great. Okay, Haribo. Wow, I got distracted, but what a treat. That was Sridhar Damali that we go to. And I want to see if he needs any help because he can't sell his flowers for so long. But it broke a very interesting discussion. I'll try to get back into it. I'm sorry about that. But I knew that was a very important call and they didn't know I was giving class. So yeah, the culture gives potential for us to grow. And the definition of culture that I got in one book is the things in our environment that we put in our environment that help us to grow in the ability to relate, the ability to communicate, and the ability to learn. And those are the three most important aspects of human development. And that's what culture is for. So you have to have a culture. They asked Mahatma Gandhi, you know, what do you think of Western culture? He said, it'd be nice if they have one. Of course, there is a Western culture. But in America, there is no. It's, you know, there's so many different people mixed. What is the culture? So you have to be very, very careful. And there's a facility that Prabhupada gave. And again, it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to go to work in tilak and you have to wear dhoti on the street. But you have to be conscious of the principle that your external environment, and I said, there's so much in the CC, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how you behave even externally. Even externally. The culture, you know, you get up and you clean yourself, you take bath, it's part of the culture. It's not just, and so many things from going to, so many things are in the culture. To how you eat, to how you serve, to so many things. So anyway, my train of thought got disconnected, but I thought it was important to share that with you. And my next thing is going to be concentrated on the relationship between the culture and the our nourishment. I think even the culture, there's two things, the things you put externally in your environment and the behavior that you adopt. And they both have impact on consciousness. And then the final point is there is Western culture. It's just so lost now. But I doubt if it was as intact, the eternal culture, as you find in the best of India. Okay, so now to today's class. I told you there was a little difficult situation, a subject. I went a little bit back. What's happened is it way to desire to see the universal form. We explained what that meant. And he became awe-inspired. He became ecstatic. And it didn't create in him a relationship of Aishwarya, but rather, my Lord is so powerful. And I give you an example. It's a son of a mother. The son of a mother may have become the son of a son, of course, the son of a mother, a son. What son of a mother? What else is the son? You know, or the father? Okay. He accomplishes something greater, has a high position. The mother may appreciate that, but she doesn't develop the mood of servitude. Rather, it increases her motherly affection. So that's what happened with Advaita. His deep relationship with Lord Chaitanya was inspired. And then Nityananda came and the same thing happened with him. And there was dancing and crying and chanting. And there was this wild scene that we see so often in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And now Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author, is commenting that this is the greatest treasure. And this is what we have to be convinced about. Devotional service is the greatest treasure, and we have the greatest wealth. We have to be convinced of that, because it is the greatest wealth. And what does it mean? It means crying while remembering Krishna's names, either crying in happiness because we're with Krishna, or crying in separation from Krishna. But the separation mood is very, very powerful, and not only powerful on the highest spiritual platform, because in separation, the object that is outside of you goes inside your heart. That's what separation really means. When you're missing somebody deeply, they really enter into your consciousness, even stronger than when you're in their presence. So that's one thing, but here we are separated from God and we should feel it. It's so, you know, I was feeling this morning, I have to explain too. I had some texting with Leela because I was concerned for that Sridhar the Mali. They can't sell their flowers, and I wanted to make sure that you know, they're okay, and maybe send them something to make sure. They're my deepest people, my deepest people. I don't think I'm so close with them. But then Leela told me that, you know, Vrindavan is always drama, and it was drama in that Russian building where I lived because the top three stories were illegal, and the police were, they were threatening to knock down those stories. And I said, Leela, if you need, there's a room out in Govardhan next to mine that I have authority over its use. Why don't you go there? So she said, thank you. Me and Gopi, her husband, we'll go out there. We'll go out there. That'll be great. But somehow or other, because of this political, this problem, she called this Baburam, who's a huge, huge policeman. You can't imagine what a chief of police of a district is like. It's like a king. And I know that because this person comes, visits me every time he comes to Vrindavan and sent a car for me to visit. It was about 4 hours away, like a police escort. And they live in these huge, they call them bungalows. But bungalow for me was a small, like huge palatial things with land. So he said to Leela, "What? Don't worry about it. I have a place in Govardhan. In Vasundhara, that's like, what do you call it? It's like a luxury place." So then she told me, and I said, oh my God, I'd like to be in Govardhan. Although it's wonderful for me here in America, I'm waking up, I have no responsibility, so much chanting, my consciousness, my health has come back. So I thought, oh, I would like to go. And then for a second, I thought, wow, I'd really like one of those houses. Because, you know, the place I have is really funky. And, you know, I really can't cook because the electricity comes out. It's one of these old Indian houses. I thought that for a moment, and I cut myself off. Immediately cut myself off. Because I made a vow when I come to Vrindavan that wherever I stay, I'll be satisfied with, because it's more than I deserve and it's mercy. But I saw a very important point. As soon as you want to enjoy something that you don't have, you want to be the controller. You want to have the power to do it. And it's kind of your little play to be God. But anyway, after that, this morning, I was just feeling this separation from Govardhan and from India. And that really gave some feeling to my morning sadhana. It really gave some feeling. That mood of separation is a deep emotion, and our spiritual practices here, chanting the holy name of Krishna, should be done with that kind of emotion. So the pure name of Krishna manifests when one cries while chanting the names of Krishna. What does tears mean? It means you want something so much that you begin to cry. And you know, in bhakti, you really get what you want. What we don't have in devotion in terms of the emotions, et cetera, is because we don't want it enough. Wealth and high birth are useless if one does not worship Krishna. Anyone who hears the topics concerning the Lord's darshan of the universal form attains the treasure of Krishna. So that's called the phal shruti, the fruit of hearing. It's to encourage us. After a short time, Gauranga concealed his universal form and returned to his residence along with his devotees. After seeing the Lord's form, Lord Nityananda, Advaita and Nityananda lost all external consciousness due to ecstasy. In the happiness of seeing the Lord's opulences, the two Prabhus rolled around in the courtyard. The two powerful lords swayed to and fro as one danced and the other sang and clapped his hands. In this way, the two lords enjoyed great happiness. Eventually, however, they began to mistreat, abuse each other. Now, this is the part which is, it's two incarnations of the Lord exchanging on such a high level platform that we have no frame of reference practically in the world to see how this is ecstasy. Advaita said, "You intoxicated Avadut, who invited you to come here?" Avadut means someone who doesn't act according to social norms. And we saw that with Advaita. And maybe also it could be a little transcendental, but Advaita sometimes, you know, he's senior, et cetera, become a little upset with Nityananda because he does such crazy things out of his ecstasy. And Advaita is aware what people think when he does that. In fact, after Lord Chaitanya left the world, in some circles of Vaishnavism, there was a little concern about who is this Nityananda. And that's one of the reasons for Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Janavadevi, Lord Nityananda's wife, she actually became the leader. And in Keturi, in Bengal, she held a great festival to bring all the Vaishnavas together and agree on the standards that they would adopt to move the movement forward. Why did you break the door and come in? Who says you're a sannyasi? Because no one knows where he came from. So generally in India, one way in which you know who someone is what their family is, but no one knows where is this Nityananda came from? Because he was just wandering around India for so many years. And he was chanting in Radha Kund when that inspiration came to join Lord Chaitanya. You eat in anyone's house without considering their caste? Who can say you have maintained your caste? So who are you? And yes, they would only eat at Brahmins' houses, and Brahmins meant mode of goodness, and the consciousness goes into the food. So those who were like sannyasis or sadhus, and they would live by begging, they would only do it from Brahmins' houses because they were in the mode of goodness. And they're a little bit hesitant to take from other groups of people because they weren't sure of their consciousness. Even in Govardhan, if you want to eat, the sadhus, they walk around, certain Brahmin families have been cooking, their lineage has been cooking for hundreds and hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, actually. And you can just say Radhe Radhe and they'll give you a chapati. It's called Madhu Kari, like a bee. You take a little from each place. So that's there. What is such a drunkard as you doing in the assembly of Vaishnavas? Get out of here right now, or you will be in trouble. Nityananda replied, just sit down, or I will show my prowess by punching you. You old Brahmin, are you not afraid of me? I am an intoxicated Avadhut, the Lord's brother. You are a gross materialist living at home with your wife and children. Well, I have accepted the path of Paramahamsa. Even I beat you, cannot do anything. Yet you display your pride before me without any reason. When Advaita heard these words, he burned with fire and anger, losing his cloth. He began to speak many rude words. You eat fish, you eat meat. What kind of sannyasi are you? I've also given up my cloth and become naked. So he got so angry that his toady fell down, or his cloth fell down. Of course he didn't eat meat or eat fish. But different groups of sannyasis did. Who knows where your parents are or where you came from? Can anyone vouch for you? One thief came and created this disturbance. But wait, and I will eat, swallow, and destroy everything. We call one who does not want anything a sannyasi, but this thief eats three times a day and still calls himself a sannyasi. Wow, I also eat three times a day. Srivas Pandit does not belong to any caste. He brought this Avadhut from somewhere and gave him shelter here. This Avadhut has ruined everyone's caste. We don't know where this drunkard has come from. Intoxicated, well, this is what it's going to say it's about. Krishna Prem Shudarase Mata Dui Jan. Intoxicated, the nectarian mellows of ecstatic love for Krishna, the two continually quarreled between themselves. Therefore, a person takes the side of one of them and blasphemies the other, he is ruined. So this is just, again, this is part of the culture that, you know, seniors may argue, and we shouldn't develop enmity towards either side. A person who blasphemies one and glorifies the other without understanding the meaning of such a lover's quarrel is burned to death. A fallen person who takes the side of Advaita and blasphemies Gadadhar can never become a servant of Advaita. So if you side with one and criticize the other, then you won't be the servant of the one you sided for, because you'll degrade your consciousness. Only the Supreme Lord is capable of quarreling with the Supreme Lord. Who can understand the pastimes of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas? Again, he has to explain this. We can't enter into this. This is. I think we're going to complete the chapter today, so we'll just read through. Vishnu and Vaishnavas are equal, but atheists and blasphemies think otherwise. One who worships the lotus feet of Krishna without discriminating among Vaishnavas is delivered. Accepting Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. Next, on Sunday, we'll do chapter 25, the discourse on spiritual knowledge by Srinivas's dead son. This ends the English translation of the Gaudiya Bhashya commentary of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila, chapter 24, entitled "The Lord Displays His Universal Form to Advaita." Okay, I don't want to start the next one, but we have some time. Anybody like to share a particular realization that inspired them? A reflection?
Hari Bol Maharaj.
Hari Bol.
Thank you for your class. One realization was just so lovely seeing Sridhar and Leela and her saying, "Maharaj, are you happy?" That was very sweet. And so that was one.
Well, but, I need your prayers. I mean, so if nice. I could get back, I would go. I would just probably take a little upgrade on the flight to make it a little safer. But I would go.
Out and over. I pray that you go.
Okay, go ahead.
But I was that last part you made about that seniors may argue, but we're not to have enmity towards other sides. And if we have enmity to the opposing side, that means we're not serving, you know, our senior, our guru, our teacher. And that, it reminds me of the Daksha and Shiva cursing thing going on in that one particular Leela. And such right. A good point. Where, yeah.
You expressed it very well too. Thank you. You articulated it nicely. Good. Anybody else have a reflection?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Radheshwari here.
Hare Bol.
I really like the point when you mentioned the vow you made whenever you go to Vrindavan, that you are happy with whatever you have, wherever you stay. I thought that it actually... it's really nice point, because it's not only about Vrindavan, but being happy with whatever we have anytime, because otherwise we try to control all our environment, not only in Vrindavan, but all our life. It's kind of acceptance of what we have now here, this type of surrender, Sharanagati, and... I thought it was a wonderful point. Thank you.
It's so important, actually speaking, in the Yoga Sutras. I think it says you perfect santosh, you know, your happiness. And what is santosh? Enough.
Enough.
Whatever you have, enough. Whatever you have, enough. And I saw that in Vrindavan. I could be in anxiety about not having a place or a place as big as this person. And I didn't have a place for 33 years. I was just wherever Krishna would give me. And I'd have mostly nice places, but sometimes not. But I just had that mentality that living there was already so much mercy and so much more than I can earn or deserve. By my own qualification, I should be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it made me actually think that it's whatever comes to me, it's done, because Krishna gives more than I deserve, even if I'm in Vrindavan or in Australia here.
Well, I like your view that you can extend it other places.
But thank you for reminding me.
Gorkhishwar Das Babaji says, you know, you can't purchase a grain of sand in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. But every place, yeah, we have to be satisfied. And that's the trick to happiness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever situation comes by Krishna.
Yes, thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you on our Sangha.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody else? A reflection?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hi,
Bo. One more thing about the Krishna West. I love this whole class, and I love your whole beginning on it. I was thinking over the weekend that I don't know too much about the Krishna West and all the workings of it, but I assume that they want to wear just like normal Western clothes to not push people away from Krishna, another way of getting people to Krishna conscious. And I feel like they probably have emphasized the wrong thing, which obviously you're making the point, but you know, attitude is what is emphasized, I think, should be emphasized. You know, attitude is everything. So I think the clothing is not is important, but it's not as important as deterring people away. You know, attitude is what is everything, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, of course, it doesn't matter what clothes you wear. I mean, you can wear pants, you can wear a dhoti or something, and people come and they can be turned away. But all things being equal, you know, you know, the dress has an effect in different places, and there's nothing wrong with a presentation that in a place where people would see it too far and as not externally manifesting. There's no problem with manifesting it either, if it works, et cetera. Like, you know, the Bhakti Center is not everybody there in dhotis and things like that. I think they made a welcoming atmosphere, but they don't hide it. So I think that, but I think why Krishna West became a controversy, at least in that discussion, is because people like Venkata Bhatt thought that it was antagonistic, you know, towards other ways and also, you know, towards the Indians, and he didn't like that or something like that. You know, he felt that it came off that way as, you know, in other words, his point was that, you know, we should be excluded, you know, the problem, well, his point, I'm not claiming my own, but is that we should be inclusive and welcoming. And he did that to be inclusive and welcoming, but he made the Indians feel unwelcome.
Right.
So he said, well, that's the same problem we had before. You know, you could do what you want. You know, you can present things as you want, but now you're making this dichotomy again. Why not just have this mood of being welcome and inclusive and then put on dress, et cetera, to attract people? And then
Right.
we said, well, no, you know, we invite Indians to come. Anyway, I'm not going to present it now. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? You'll read my article and you'll read the one the next week.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lila Vrindavan. I just had a reflection as you were speaking about culture, and I was realizing I feel like I'm struggling a lot now more and more, as like everything is just on Zoom, and I'm just realizing what it is just like you have to carry the culture yourself, because it's not, you know, given to you anymore by the beautiful programs or the temple or the sangha. It's just like you have to carry the culture by yourself. And does it really translate on Zoom? So I was just reflecting that the value of that and how the lack of it is maybe causing some havoc in many devotees' lives.
Uh-huh. Well, I think the real solution, of course, Sangha, getting together is so important. This has actually increased people's chanting and hearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's also good. And there's also the fact that, you know, getting in a car and going through the Holland Tunnel and finding a parking space, and then you get a little sangha, and then you got to get back. So there's different things. But I think the real solution is we have to hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we have to actually learn the culture so we can incorporate it in our lives very, very practically, because it will have an effect. So we actually have to learn the culture. And that's why I think living in India was so important, at least for me, because it was a place, you know, where I saw the culture. And I saw how people dealt with each other. And I saw its relationship to bhakti. But So you'll come back and the COVID will be over and we'll have some nice programs. We can all be together. Okay, thank you so much. That was a nice comment. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bogyal.
I have a reflection about the reflection.
Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, to go here.
Yeah, one of them is that, you know, I really appreciate the fact that it gives us a chance to review some of the points that were made during a class, so it's not just in one ear and out the other. And also, it also gives you a chance that, you know, if you missed any points, then it gives you a chance to get caught up. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You like the reflections afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, for those two reasons. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Gail. Gail, you've become an Akash Vani.
Yeah, if you saw me, you would appreciate that.
Okay, it's better that it's an Akashvani. Okay. An Akashvani means an unembodied voice.
Yeah, okay. You don't want to see this body.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Namaste here.
I'm so happy to, at least by Vani, to be in your home.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. It's because of the bad connection, because I'm in the farm now.
No. I'm saying that the medium actually can be in, I can be there.
Yeah.
With you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Amazing. Okay. Anybody else?
Haribol Maharaj, it's Mukunda.
Haribol?
Haribol Maharaj, it's Mukunda.
Okay, Mukunda, Haribol. Okay, I'm going to end right now. Okay, Haribol.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Himala Tarrada.
Oh, you got...
How are you, Maharaj?
Good. The weather's getting better there now, right?
Definitely, Maharaj. It's really nice.
Okay.
Maharaj, I was thinking when something came into my mind talking about Krishna West stuff. And I thought about, because you mentioned custom, which for me, when I wear, a gopi dress or a skirt, it's not like a costume. It's different. But I thought, what happens when like someone dresses with a suit, but it's actually a thief? Then that's a different custom, pretending to be someone they're not. That's what I thought somehow, because also that's where you find like the wrong gurus or anyways, I don't know why that came to my mind when you were talking about Krishna West and about
what you're saying is sometimes people can adopt the dress but not represent it. Well, that's another point. But our point was not fanatically have to wear the dress or not wear the dress, etc. But when does it have a utility and what aspects of the culture have a utility? Mm. So it's like a policeman. You can do things in plain clothes. The important thing is the activity you're doing, not the external.
Right.
But
they're connected.
What?
But somehow they are connected.
Well, yeah, I mean, a policeman can do in plain clothes and
right.
It's not just the external, but I think the point that's being made here is what does it have a utility that people could use? And people say, yes, it makes me feel this way. It makes me feel this way. I can identify in this way. It also has a certain cleanliness. If you want to do deity worship, you know, especially, you know, they're easy clothes to clean. And they're clothes that you can clean every day because they're just flat cloth. Well, who washes their pants every day? right? Mm. You just right. keep on putting him on. So that's the thing. And of course, there'll always be people who misrepresent, you know, there's something called Kali Chela. Kali Chela means is a disciple of Maya. And it refers to someone who adopts the dress and everything like that, but actually they're a disciple of illusion. So that's also a factor that can be there. But the point that is being made here is, what is the utility of it? Does it have a utility, and can it be used? And should we make a blanket understand. Thing that actually it has no relevance? Okay?
Okay, thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay, Haribo.
Haribo.